The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the Mic.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Moody on the Mic. A day late this week. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, is Anthony Mithen, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett, and Peter Moody from Pakenham. Moods, we were a day delayed because the storms ripped your house a new a-hole, and you spent yesterday on the chainsaw. How are things up Belgrave South?
Still plenty of trees down, Rog, and still no power. So God bless all those tree huggers that just want to work on renewables and enjoy the power source that's available. And all those people that want to get rid of cash, all those, it's amazing the shops around the place that won't accept cash, but very quickly fucking do when there's no electricity to tap your card.
Right, man, it's got to be a new record. I think we're about 35 seconds into this episode before a Moody rant, but we got there. So welcome to you, and don't worry, we might clean up a little bit.
He's in rare form, Moods. We know that he does like to go political every now and again, and to use Moods' term, the tree huggers have always been a popular target for Moody on the Mic. So, no, this is just the Moods we come to expect on Moody on the Mic. And he's had a tough couple of days, to be fair, but all the horses and everything's well, Moods?
Yeah, all good. The stable's good down at Pakenham Way. We've got the edge of the storm, but up in the residence there, it's South Belgrave is a very little dark village at the moment, but actually worked in my favour this morning, that little rant. I had two coppers pull me up speeding this morning, not excessively. They said, "How's your morning, sir?" I said, "How the F and hell do you think? I've been bumbling around in the dark for the last 5 minutes. I boiled a saucepan of hot water to make a cup of tea with natural gas." And they said, "If you blow clean into this, sir, we'll just ask you to go on your happy, merrily way and please slow down next time." And to their credit, I blew in the machine. I hadn't had a drink for about 12 hours. And they said, "Just please slow down a bit, sir. You've obviously had enough angst this morning." So God bless
you. So your rant actually got you off a speeding fine. A Moody rant got you off a speeding fine.
Well, maybe their cameras weren't working. I will admit I was going a little bit quick. But the boys did their duty and they felt sorry for the poor old battler from South Belgrave.
I wonder why Moods, there's going to be a variety of reasons which tend to tip Moods over the edge, but I reckon one of them might be that his colleague, his co-trainer, Catherine Coleman, is coming for his corner. We all know that Moods is the first trainer turned media mogul, and you know, Moody on the Mic podcast stemmed off these lovely interviews he did at Trackwork. But I did notice this pop up on the socials last week, and I've got to say, I think she's coming for you.
Quite a few horses. What? Five, I believe, to be exact. But none of them in the Moody Coleman yard.
No, none. I'm open, though. I'm open to it.
Ben, can you tell us about your Instagram new page about the cooking channel?
It's a hobby of mine, and we're just doing a little bit of.
So that's Catherine Coleman interviewing at the Race Victoria Autumn Carnival launch, doing the box pops, and there is a distinct air of familiarity about that mood. It's I don't think she's quite as polished as you on the microphone, just quietly.
No, she probably polishes up a little bit better, but I'd imagine.
There's no doubt about that.
We did start out on live camera, Roger and I, many years ago before you and Rain Man tried to hijack our show, Mytho.
Still angering for Mytho on the Mic. But speaking of Mytho doing some camera time, now we got stuck in him last week, Rain Man, about his inability to tip winners. And lo and behold, after last week, we had no luck between myself, you, Moods, and well, Mytho got his best bet home. And this is his post-race interview.
Emotional sort of day for us because you don't forget your roots.
What were you exactly talking about there, Mytho? You don't forget your roots. So what went on down at Colac back in the day after Glitter and Gold got up in the Colac Cup last week?
Well, it was a very, very enjoyable day, and made even more enjoyable by the fact that I was absolutely 100% locked on Moody on the Mic last week, that Glitter and Gold was the best across the whole weekend. Put cash in everyone's pocket, and they blew on your shithouse tips. So, Sfora, what did you tip, Moods?
I tipped $1.80.
$1.70 pop at Yarra Valley.
Oh, he got beaten too. Yeah. So I have become the new king of tipping on this show, and I'll take that mantle for the 1 week that I have it.
When we were, Roger and I were talking yesterday morning about the rescheduled record time, we were sort of hoping that Mytho might be unavailable for this week to avoid this victory lap. So we were hoping that the 1 week he does finally tip a winner, we weren't going to let him on the show the following week. But no, well played, Mytho. It ended up paying about $6.30. So you've got a bit of a lead here in terms of the best bets for this season.
Well, and I was actually half expecting, given my sort of newfound fandom through Moody on the Mic and the listeners that we have and the followers that we have. And I did declare also, if you might remember, not only tipped the horse, but I also tipped that I'd be stopping at every pub between Colac and Geelong on the way home and having a beer. And I thought, I'm just going to get swamped at the Winchelsea Hotel when I wander in there, and all the Moody on the Mic listeners will be high-fiving as I walk in, and you got donuts.
And there is only one pub between Colac and your place, I think. Is that correct?
The Winchelsea and the Moriac, yeah. But we gave the Moriac the lemonade and sauce.
Self-praise is worth 5/8 of fuck all, but I think we found a few winners collectively on the Caulfield card away from the best bets. So I don't think we did too bad. We held our end up.
Well, in a way, Mertz, I did say that I do feel for Matt Hill, if the two Japanese horses go toe-to-toe down the straight, and just let's reminisce of what did happen in the prelude last week.
Koryanagi is looking for the gaps, just about got it. Bold Bastille, they've got it. Koryanagi to be or not to be, and Hayasugi on the outside. Koryanagi and Hayasugi, they're going to hit it together, and it's nearly a dead heat. A photo, Hayasugi or Koryanagi.
Well, that was Matt Hill absolutely nailing the pronunciations of the two Japanese horses. Now, we know pronunciation isn't always Moods' strong point, and this did catch my eye on Twitter during the week.
Yeah, well, she was good. She probably peaked a little bit the last 50 metres the other day, but she was chasing a damn good horse in Coleman, and I would suggest he probably peaked a bit as well. So, and then we've seen the likes of Bodyguard and Sui Yagi, Miss Sui, Chop Sui, or whatever, when it went again. So.
Yeah, so you didn't quite nail it in the same breath that Matt Hickman did, Moods. At least you had a crack.
Yeah, well, I've always been one to try. I don't sort of hide. I lead with my chest and my chin, even when I get it wrong.
If you were on the racing.com social media channels on Wednesday, it was basically the Peter Moody show. They'd chopped up about four different segments that all had Moods interviews. They had one where he was talking about whether I Wish I Win would like the Valley, and Moods says, I don't know. I asked him, but he couldn't tell me, which is very funny. They chopped that one up. They had the interview. It was just Moods everywhere. It just shows that Catherine, she's doing her best. She's trying to edge into Moods' territory, but she's still got a lot of work to do to catch up with the great man.
Well, he was in a good mood during that interview with Timmy Aitman, and I dare say things changed about 24 hours later. So it's just as well it wasn't him dominating the social media space this morning.
Well, I can let you in on a bit of a secret there, because I was trackside at Pakenham for the jump outs Tuesday morning when that interview was conducted. And I think things took a turn for the worse about 4 minutes after that interview finished. And they were very lucky that they didn't interview the big man after his two-year-old didn't get a barrier certificate. And the carry-on from the big man, oh, my God, he went absolutely off his nut. At poor old buddy Bodes, who runs the track down there, one of the great picnic jockeys we've ever seen, and he ripped the two way out of his hand. It's his two way to run the whole of the Pakenham racetrack. Moose rips it out of his hand and screams down the microphone, "You bikes, I give you enough beer every year at your Christmas party to stock you up for 3 years. You can't get my fucking horse into the barrier. What fucking use are you?" Hanged up, stormed out of the mounting yard, and was not to be seen again. He's the greatest sook I've ever seen at track work when things don't go right. So the boys, they timed their run, Timmy Yateman and Digger Dooley, they timed their run to perfection. Can I let them in on a secret?
Another little bow to my argument that he's the biggest diva in racing. He plays the street, he plays the man of the people, he plays the everyman, but when you look deep down, he's the biggest diva in racing.
He's just got a smug grin on his face at the moment too, because he knows it's true. He knows it's absolutely true.
Well, there's actually a bit of a theory going around the Entain Ladbrokes offices. Like in previous years, I've been the only person in the Ladbrokes Entain empire that's been brave enough to call Moods. Everyone was scared of him because they might yell at him. He might get a bit fiery. So I was always the middleman. That would, whenever anyone had a request for Moods, it would go through me. I'd call him. He'd call me a C-bomb a few times. Eventually, he'd generally agree. But there's a theory going around the Ladbrokes offices that ever since Catherine Coleman came on board, Moods has just got a little bit more time up his sleeve and he's become a bit more cuddly. He's become a cuddly man. So all the producers dealing with Moods of late have been saying how lovely he's been. Like, I can't believe everyone's been potting him all this time for how difficult it is he is to deal with. He's turned his reputation around to a cuddly Moody.
Well, there you go. See, Leopard can change its spots.
Me and Moods, we go back about 15 years, I think, and I've got to say, if you've ever seen the movie 50 First Dates, where Drew Barrymore has amnesia and she doesn't know, you'd never know how she's going to be the next day. That's like Moods. It doesn't matter how long you've known him. You never know what you're going to get when he logs on for the podcast, when you give him a call. Life's a mystery. It's a mystery and it's exciting, Moods, and that's why we love you. Before we go to our first break, we've got some races to look at. I've just got to be a little bit serious. Luke Nolan had a bad fall last week at track work. He's your mate. You're very close with him. Have you got any updates for the listeners about your favourite little jockey and how he's going?
He's out of hospital, Luke. I always knew he was full of shit. They had to operate on his bowel. He said when he first got in the ambulance and he was sucking on the green whistle, I said, "What's wrong, cock?" He said, "I think I've hurt me tool."
But it was actually the other side.
I said, "What?" He said, "Me tool." He said, "I think I've hurt me tool. I'm not going to look." I think he thought a horse stood on his tool, but it didn't. Something had burst inside around the back of his tool that they had to fix up. And I think he's got a few broken ribs. But he came down and picked up his car today. So I haven't had a chat to him for a couple of days due to the fact that we haven't had power and phones. Did I bring that up?
You did mention that, up at the top.
That's good. So I haven't had a chance to speak to him without no internet and no phone service and no power. So as soon as I catch a carrier pigeon, I'll shoot it down to him and get an update for you.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment, and black book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Four races for us to look at. We're going to have two at Randwick and two at Flemington. Rayman, let's start with the Expressway Stakes Race 5 on the card at Randwick. Tell us the market and then give us your thoughts.
Yeah, Racing New South Wales have pushed the Expressway Stakes back a few weeks, I think, in the aim of getting a bigger field than the six or seven they normally get. And they've come up with seven runners. So that's been a successful mission. It's still an interesting race, though, with those seven runners. Buenos Nachos, who we saw run really well in the Everest, is the $2.10 favourite. King of Sparta coming off a last start win at the Magic Millions, $2.60. Golden Mile. Returning to the races for the first time since he finished third in the Golden Eagles, $8, and he got Coal Crusher at $11. I think Buenos Nachos really took a step forward last preparation, then was only narrowly denied by Imperatrice in the champion sprint down the Flemington Straight. And Imperatrice, we know, was the star sprinter in Victoria last spring. So I think he's a deserving favourite here. I think if you're looking for a horse that could knock them off at a nice each-way price, it is Coal Crusher, who went to a new level at the end of last preparation, won the Hunter. He beats King of Sparta there. King of Sparta's $2.60 here, Coal Crusher $11. I do think Coal Crusher will be better over slightly further, but he does run well fresh. First up, he's had two wins, so he's not one to discount at $11 Coal Crusher. So I think King of Sparta looks under the odds there. $2.10 about Buenos Nachos doesn't really interest me, but Coal Crusher at $11 does appeal a little bit.
Buenos Nachos comfortably in the best sprinters in the country for mine, as he showed running Imperatrice to half a length in that champion sprint. He wasn't embarrassed in the Everest binding stretch. He's got form around the likes of Private Eye overpassing the shorts. I couldn't get him as short as $2, but I do think he's a deserved favourite. I've definitely got him on top, and I think the market's spot on in terms of he and also King of Sparta as the top two. I think if he gets out a little bit, I'll be having a bit on Buenos Noches, but I'll certainly be having a bit on the exact that Buenos Noches to beat King of Sparta. I think they're definitely the two best horses in the race.
Yeah, it's a tricky race. I hate to use a moodyism, but it's a pineapple for me. But Buenos Noches, I want to see him do it. Like he, I reckon he was 50-1, wasn't he, in that BRC Sprint Rain Man?
20.
You know, he's run well above what the market expectations were that day, and that might be his true form. But he might have also just run out of his skin. King of Sparta goes and bashes up on a restricted lot in the Magic Millions race, but bashed up in pretty good style. You know, are they the two best horses in this clearly, as the market suggests? Probably not. I don't mind Rayman's theory of finding something else. You know, Godolphin, how good are they going at the minute? I'd like to see him get a winner or two, Golden Mile. Probably Coal Crusher each way. Why not?
Yeah, well, this race has just got a fair bit of who cares? You know, Rain Man's
well, the owners race. Would care, and the trainers and the jockeys that are going to share in the prize money and Group 2 status, and those that are going to have a punt and, you know, take the early quaddie in Sydney, they're probably going to care. There's heaps of people that are going to care, Peter.
Well, Rain Man's just pulled this clean out of his arse cheeks, this race. He's found, like, there's 48 races in Australia on Saturday, and he's found this.
What, the Group
2 Buenos Noches, for the sake of having a tip, like, who cares?
I don't think the listeners really worry too much when we do a Sydney race. And you can tell when Moods is genuinely interested, you'll know by his summary. And if he is, then you want to follow. And if he's not, then I wouldn't worry too much. Let's go to the Apollo Stakes, Rayman, because we get to see one of the best horses in the country go around in this race. Give us the market, because she has come up favourite.
Yeah, I hope there's a few horses here that might interest the great Peter Moody. I think he'd like to have a few of these ones in his stable. The favourite is Fangirl, coming off a really successful Spring Carnival campaign. She's opened the $2.30 favourite. Militarized, the Boom 3-year-old, he's on the second line of betting at $4.80. The Veteran, Think It Over, he's $6. Buckaroo for Chris Waller, $7.50. Lindemann's a Group 1 winner, $9.50. Cascadian, the 9-year-old, he's $12, and he's the horse that does just appeal to me a little bit. I think the market's got this race just about right. I think Fangirl is deserving of this status, has her status as favourite. I do think she lived up to her potential last preparation. I think it's because she finally got a campaign where she didn't run into a host of wet tracks. She's not a wet tracker. She likes the firm ground, and she got some firm surfaces in Sydney in the spring, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty good track at Randwick on Saturday as well. So she is a deserving favourite. I think Cascadian's the horse that, if he does produce his best, and he's a 9-year-old and he is first up, but I think he's got the upside to knock her off. So he only had the one race start in the spring. It was in the Giga Kick Stakes, and he finished 7th of 8th. But if you actually watch the run, he found the line really nicely. The race wasn't run to suit. They weren't a bit quick for him early, but his closing sectionals were really, really strong. And then in the autumn last year, over 1,400 metres, he ran a really nice third behind Giga Kick and Zaki in the all-age stakes. And I don't think there's as good as Fangirl is. I don't think she's as good as Giga Kick, and I don't think she's as good as Zaki at his peak either. So I think if you're looking for one to a knockout chance at each way odds, it is Cascading at the $12, $2.90, but Fangirl deserving of her status as favourite.
Jeez, it took a long time to say the same thing three times. Rayman, we know you love Cascadia. We've tipped him plenty of times over the journey here. I'm not sure how many of those he's actually won. We saw the best of Fangirl last preparation, and she proved she's one of the best horses in the country. I think everything lines up here for her, and it's there for the taking. First up, 1,400. Thank you very much, Fangirl. I'll take it all day.
Rog, I'm with you. Fangirl, and more of Fangirl. Wanted to tip Militarize and did a deep dive on the form. And interesting to note, needs just to get the toe in the ground. Militarize has had five goes on a good track or better, and has only come up trumps once. So as opposed to Fangirl, who really needs the dry track, has only missed a place twice on a good track. So out of 12 goes, mind you. So, Fangirl for me, you can take the 220. 220, you're betting? Yeah, take that and just load up, one out the quaddie, everything, I reckon. Fangirl.
I think there are some showers predicted there too over the next few days, and Randwick does get those coastal showers, so maybe that's something to keep an eye on with Mitho's take on militarised there. Fangirl's the one to beat for sure and certain, but I thought Think It Over might have been the value in the race. He's a very good horse. He's the highest rated horse in the race. I think he's a 4 or 6-time winner first up. Probably slightly short of his best, the 1400 these days. Now he's a little bit older. But maybe work him around Fangirl in some multiples if you've got a third one there. But certainly Fangirl the one to beat. But keep a close eye and Think It Over. He's been too good a horse to dismiss.
Is he rated more highly than Fangirl, Moods?
Yeah, yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think that Queen Elizabeth win had a bit to do with that. But, which was more the ride from Nashua Villa, just quietly. But let's move on now down to Melbourne, and we'll start with the CS Hay Stakes Race 7 on the program at Flemington. Before we get to the Group 1 feature, which is the Black Caviar Lightning, Rayman, one from the Kieran Maher, I was going to say Maher used to stable, but just the Kieran Maher stable these days is top of the market.
Yeah, King Colorado is the favourite here, Rog, at $3.10. King Colorado, who won my favourite race, the Ladbrokes JJ Atkins, in the winter, and then didn't win but wasn't disgraced in the elite three-year-old races during the spring. Came back with a strong first-up effort in the Manfred Stakes. So he's got the fitness edge over a lot of his key rivals here. Otago's the untapped horse, 2 wins from as many race starts. This is a big step up in quality, but does look to have a fair amount of upside. Riff Rocket is $6.50, the Derby winner. You'd imagine he'd be better suited over further, but we've seen that he is a very high-quality horse on his day. I sort of want to take on all the leading chances in this race. I think it's a sort of like King Colorado, the first up run was good, but I'm still not quite convinced he's a legitimate three-year-old Group 1 contender.
Rayman, he won the JJ Atkins, mate. He won the race.
I know.
Playing on about it's the greatest two-year-old form race in the history of mankind. How can you possibly pot your own form line?
It pains me to do it, and he'll probably come out and win on Saturday because that JJ Atkins form is just so strong. But there's one here at a big price I think can run well for the Chris Waller stable, and it's still a maiden. But Cap Ferrat, it's $31. It's still a maiden, but it ran some really good races in the spring around Tom Kitten, around those sort of horses. It was third behind Raff Attack in the gloaming as well, was second behind Tom Kitten in the spring champion. And he just looked like a horse that would improve with a bit more seasoning. So I'm not, I just have a question mark over a lot of this three-year-old form. So I think in the autumn, I'm looking for a little bit of fresh blood. And I'm thinking maybe this horse is that fresh blood. So at $31 to win, $7 the place, I'm willing to have a little bit of an each-way gamble here.
My concern, I sort of had a look around that. My concern was that he might want a bit further at 1400, but I found this race very, very tough. I've gone with King Colorado. He hasn't done a great deal since he won that JJ Atkins, as you sort of pointed out, but you know, he has got form around some great horses and in some very high profile races. And I know Kieran's had a pretty high opinion of him for quite some time. So you think Group 3 second up, you know, he'd want to be winning this. And I think some of these aren't at this level, or they're perhaps looking for further in distance. Otago's the X factor. But given their respective records, you know, Otago's a bit short for mine. So I'm probably not keen to bet in this race. I probably want more than $3 about King Colorado, but I do have him on top in a very tough race.
Yeah, he's a tough horse to bet on, isn't he, King Colorado? I mean, perhaps flattered running second in a small field from memory, wasn't it, that first up run for King Colorado. Riff Rockets, why not Riff Rocket? First up record's good, 2 for 2. I get that you sort of go, well, he's a Derby horse, but maybe he's just the best horse in this race. And I think he's a star in the making, and I don't know that 2,500 is necessarily going to be his go. So the 1,400 first up, he'd be tuned up for this. That's what that tells us. And he's got a very good, well, he's won his first two, he's only two goes first up. So at nice odds, I'll be Riff Rocket each way.
Yeah, we've seen Chris Waller do this a fair bit as well with horses that have been Oaks and Derby horses that you then think are going to turn into genuine stays and become Caulfield Cup horses. But Chris Waller brings them back in distance and sets them for a race like the Epsom. So he's done it quite successfully with a number of high-profile horses over the years.
Yeah, I'm nearly in your corner there, Mito. King Colorado was very good in the Manfred the other day. It was a stop-start affair. His stablemate Brave Mead controlled the race from the front, but his closing sectionals were very, very good. I think you just take him on trust a little bit because on the odd occasion, he just does go missing. But if he repeats that first up run from the Manfred, he's going to be very hard to beat. But yeah, I keep coming back to Riff Rocket a little bit as well. Anthony, I'm in your corner. Otago, I think he's got to lift significantly again. He might have the scope to do it. We don't know the intricacies of the horse. He might have to do it. But I think you've got to work around the top two in Riff Rocket and King Colorado. I've got a runner in the race myself, Amigo. He ran fourth in that Manfred behind Brave Mead and King Colorado. He's probably not the worst for your multiples, but I'd be working around the one and two. Interesting race, I suppose, the question mark being Otago. But yeah, these horses returning off that spring campaign to the autumn, it is an interesting time to see where they sit in the food chain. And I think you knocked it on the head, Rain Man, and or Rog, with Riff Rocket. A lot of horses win those spring Derby and Oaks, but they're only milers predominantly, you know. So maybe Riff Rocket will fall into that category because I think it was Caulfield one day. He showed a blistering turn of foot in a mile or an 1800 that would have said he'd suggest to you he'd win a 1200.
It's a little bit akin to back in the 90s when we had the Melbourne Cup winner come back and win the All Stakes first up on, you know, Let's Lope did it, Saintly did it, Jeanne did it. Like those staying horses come back and just run really well fresh. So, look, it might be the value there. Might have talked me into it, given I wasn't overly keen to bet. Maybe I might go a bit Riff Rocket. Let's go to the Black Caviar Lightning, named after the great one. Rayman, we get to see a horse who Moots has said on this podcast does have some Black Caviar tendencies.
Imperatrice is the favourite, Rod. She has been a drifter in early betting, $1.75 out to $1.95. So she's on the odds on, but she certainly hasn't been particularly well backed early. And there's been horses back to beat her. One of them is Private Eye. He's been $6 into $4.80. The other one is Bella Nipotina, who's been $9.50 into $6.50. Then you've got the three-year-old I Am Unstoppable, $7. Cylinder, $11. Espiona, the mayor for Chris Waller, is $17 there. It's a really interesting race. We saw Imperatrice, like she was flawless during that spring campaign. But the one race where she did look a little bit vulnerable was the sprint down the Flemington straight. She looked unbeatable at Moonee Valley, but she was very beatable that day at Flemington, and we saw her run a close thing to Bernos Notchos. And I think that Private Eye is a better horse than Bernos Notchos. So if Imperatrice doesn't bring her A-game, Private Eye is the horse that is good enough to beat him. We saw him run extremely well in the Everest. We saw him run very well in the Giga Kick. And last preparation, he won first up in the shorts in really impressive fashion. So I think Private Eye is a good enough horse to win this race if Imperatrice isn't right at her top. And I'm interested in Moods' thoughts on Imperatrice's trial at Cranbourne, where she just didn't quite look like she had that same ping that we saw in the spring. Obviously, we don't want to read too much into trials, but she just looked a little bit plain for mine. So I'm betting around Imperatrice, and I think Private Eye is the horse that could take advantage if there is a chink in her armour on Saturday.
Moods, what's right here? You can go in second here. What did you make of that trial?
Oh, listen, I didn't play a lot into it. I didn't take any note of a trial at the start of the preparation when they brought her over from New Zealand, and she was any old price behind Giga Kick at Moonee Valley either. So I'm backing Mark Walker. He came over and had a look at her on Monday, galloped her at Moonee Valley, and she's lining up in a Group 1, which tells me he believes she's on song. Otherwise, I wouldn't think he'd be risking her if she wasn't 100% right, and I think that sees a win. Should be too good for them. Bella Nipotina, Private Eye, they're both super sprinters, but listen, realistically, the only way they beat Imperatrice is if she's off a top. And I'm banking on Mark Walker and Tiako believing she's going well enough to win.
I think that I think she'll win. And I agree, though, that she was not as convincing down the straight as she was around the tight surrounds of Moonee Valley. But, and I think there's enough of this sort of chatter around the traps that she gets out a bit on Saturday, and I think she's already drifted out to $1.95 or seven Ladbrokes. I think you're going to get 210, 220 potentially on the day. So at that price, I absolutely want to be with her. I think she's, if she gets even money or better, then, you know, step in, because she is the best sprinter in Australasia, and I think she'll be winning this race, you know, down the straight or not, and only bad luck might beat her. So Imperatrice for me. Mitho, what do you reckon?
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I can't believe she's out to $1.95 now. I disagree with you, though, that she'll get out. I think the punters will come for her, and, you know, reading her form and seeing her record, say, well, hang on, this is a giveaway, isn't it? I get, you know, Private Eye, Bella Nipotina, nice horses, really good horses, Group 1 horses and you know, stars, really. But she's next level, isn't she? I'm happy to take the $1.95.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, see where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
All right, time now for our best bets presented by Rosemont Start this week after Mitho got the chop at $6.50.
All the glitters is gold.
Can you bring some gold for us this week, Rayman?
I'm heading to New Zealand for my best bet this weekend, lads. New Zealand racing absolutely flying at the moment. I was lucky enough to be over there a few weeks ago for the Karaka Means. It was an outstanding race meeting. Moves over there at the sales as well. And it's Avondale Cup, Avondale Guineas Day on Saturday at Ellerslie. And I like in race 5, Ellerslie race 5, numbers 5, Merchant Queen. A horse that has a big class edge over the rest of this field here. You're getting $2.60, which I don't think will last. I'll be backing it now because I think it'll start odds on Saturday, and I think it'd be a horse to follow as it progresses through the grade. So that's Ellerslie race 5, number 5, Merchant Queen. So nice and early on Saturday morning for you.
And that reminds me, of course, Entain do have a significant presence with New Zealand racing, and don't worry, Rainman's going to have to bring two best bets each week because we're going to bring in Rainman's Kiwi Corner, so he will have a New Zealand best bet, and we'll make sure he's got one on home soil as well. So starting next week, Rainman's Kiwi Corner.
Well, can he give us one, you know, when we're actually out of bed and watching the races?
Right, Ellerslie, it's perfect timing, Mitho. You're always saying the races start too late. Ellerslie race 5 is at 11:52. You can have get your best bet home before midday. It's a great way to set up your day. You should be punting in Ellerslie every week.
On what is a tough weekend, I'm going to go to Randwick race 6, number 2. I thought Samana's win in the Magic Millions Cup was very impressive. I think she looks good value at present in the Triscay. She's second elect in the market behind Alentia, but wouldn't be surprised if she did start favourite in that race. A month between runs, back to 1,200. She's in form. And I'm with her again on Saturday. That is race 6, number 2 at Randwick Samana. Mitho, you got one in New Zealand?
I'm heading to Queensland for race 6 at Eagle Farm. Number 8, Malane, a horse very well known to the Peter Moody stable, who's now with Tony Gowan. And he's gelded, and I said that I'd give him back to Moods after we gelded him. You're on mute there, Moods, by the way. We didn't give him back because we like Tony, and the horse likes Queensland, and he's first up, and he's trialled very well, and he's got Ryan Maloney on, he's drawn well, and he'll be winning. Pants Malane, the best bet for Rosemont on the weekend. Moods, go for your run.
I'm wishing you all the best there, Anthony, and only if you had taken my advice 9 months ago and yelled at him, he might have still been in my yard, but that's life.
You're always the smartest in the room, aren't you, Pete? Always.
Let's hope those tendencies to not put in have been disappeared when the dogs ate his bush oysters. But I love the horse. He's a nice horse. I purchased him with you, and I would love to see him show his true abilities. And on this very day last year, I actually read him first up in the Black Caviar Lightning. He was going that well, and that's what I thought of him. But listen, the little boutique stable, three runners this Saturday at Flemington. I fear that Riot and Rose won't take his place in race 10. We line up in the Tallandirt Stakes with a nice filly having a first start called Champagne Tonight. She's trialled very well, has shown nice ability. J-Car takes the steer. I expect a good competitive effort. Flemington Straight first time always concerns me. They either do or they don't, but she's a nice filly. What odds there, Rain Man?
Favorite. She's come up as the clear favourite, Moods. $3.60. Punters very, very impressed by that latest jump out win.
So we need a bit more than just a competitive effort there, Petey. Can you just tip it to the punters?
No, I can't just tip it to the punters. She's a first starting 2-year-old down the Flemington Straight with very good ability, but I've had better horses than her, been beat down there first up. I'm hoping like hell she wins, but I'm not going to tip the punters in boots and all, but certainly put her in your multiples. We move across to the race 5, the Francis Tressidy Forbidden City. She's always over the odds, this mare, and never far away. Runs well.
She never wins.
She runs well this track and trip. She's 25-1, and she can run a good each-way race again. I think my best of the weekend probably comes up in race 6, the Vanity, Molly Nickers. Very good filly resuming. She has worked and trialled extremely well for a return to the races. Going to need a little bit of luck from the recently engaged Ben Malham from an outside draw, but let's hope he hasn't got his mind on sending out the wedding invitations, because he'll miss your name, Mytho, and he's got his mind on Molly Nickers. And any sort of a steer, I think, should nearly see her home. And I actually lied to you there. We have fourth runner in Amigo, who we discussed earlier in the CS Hayes. I think he can, you throw him in a multiple. He's not the worst there. He's going to get a good draw from a good soft run. Should be running well in the Hayes. Is he as good as the top two, Riff Rocket and King Colorado? I have reservations, but hoping that he can go there and run well. So the best of mine for the weekend, punters, race 6, number 2, Molly Nickers. The most
anything
intriguing
off Broadway?
Runner.
What the about most, in,
the most intriguing... Can someone shut him up? Can you mute Mytho? It's not his show. It's Moody's show. The intriguing runner for the stable is the Talendert, race 3, number 9, Champagne Tonight. I think she's a very good filly. I just hope she handles the Flemington Straight. And what do we like to see, team? We've got the fastest race in Australia. We've got the fastest sprinter in the world in Peritres. Opie Bossom, let the fastest horse run fast.
Ladbrokes.